We are so grateful for the fellowship of those who have ministered with us in days gone by. The Gillens are with us and delighted they can be around these days. You have that piece of music. Did you bring that with you? You did. Are you going to be here tonight? Well, let's see what we can do. We have a baptism tonight, among other things. Let's fit that in somewhere. And we might as well enjoy the saints while we can here on earth. And we need to have grateful hearts. The blessings we enjoy today are a great deal. In fact, almost totally built on the foundation of work that was done in years gone by. And we are greatly indebted to those who have invested their life in this work. It's a great joy to know them. And they're just the kind of people that make life sweeter and more blessed. And they've ministered in very wonderful ways to us in days and in years gone by. We're grateful for your presence, both of you today and others. And may the Lord continue to make us faithful. Because this thing, listen to me, this thing, if you serve God faithfully for a lifetime, this thing has wonderful, blessed outcome to it. It has a wonderful, blessed outcome to it. Now, Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, we talk about the sweet by and by, but we live in the nasty now and now. And the fruits of this thing are sweet, but in order to get sweet fruit, you've got to sometimes squeeze and prune, trim that vine until it says ouch, and there's some bitterness along the line. There's just a lot of difficulty along the line getting where you're going if you're going to live a blessed life. So we want to sow and sow and sow, S-O-W, not S-E-W. That's what my wife does. But you want to sow, S-O-W, and sow and sow and keep sowing. Keep praying, keep loving the Lord. Keep yourself right with the Lord and just move along regardless of the circumstances. And there's blessing always comes. One of my favorite sayings, I just share it all over the place, is that if you want to know the secret of success, you keep shooting in the same hole until something comes out. And some of you know what that means and some don't. You've never gone hunting before. But at any rate, we need to be faithful. Dr. Jim Binney has been with us a couple of times, not recently, and he's given his life to counseling, and especially counseling in the lives of pastors and missionaries who are going in deep waters, going through deep waters, and who have found themselves in trouble. And one of the basic statements that he makes is that every problem in life, every great difficulty, every problem, great personal problem in life usually is directly connected to a wrong view of God. A wrong view of God. Not knowing who God really is. Thinking that God is something that He is not. And we want to be very careful that we have a biblical view of God. This is why Bible reading is so important. It is because in the Word of God, you get a true view of who and what God is. It is more than just hearing preaching and sermons and lessons and listening to devotional materials. It has to do with a personal firsthand knowledge of God's Word that tells you who God is and what God will do and what God wants to do. And if a wrong view of God brings difficulty in life, and it does, then a right view of God, it brings blessing. A right view of God brings blessing. And so we are doing this series that we're, with the outline of which comes from Dr. Jim Burke, what we know with absolute certainty about God. God is bound by His own character. There are things God will do and things God will never do. God cannot do some things. God can't lie. God can't fail you. God can't do that. If God fails you, he has denied Himself. God cannot do that. God cannot deny you His Word. When He makes a commitment, He doesn't back out on it. There are things that God cannot do. We need to have a right view of God, what we know with absolute certainty about God. We're on the first major point of this outline. God is always good. Always. And that means, number one, He will always forgive my sin. Always. And we took three messages on that. Now we're on number two today. God will always meet my genuine needs. God will always meet my genuine needs. Always. Not part of the time, but always. And the key to that is genuine. And we talked about that last Sunday. It's not what we want to have. It's not our list of wants. It's not our American dream. It's not our dreams for what we would like to have. But what we need to have in order that we might serve and honor God in our lives. So, God will always meet my genuine needs. Always. And we went to Matthew 6 and we talked about that. And then we went to Philippians 4. The matter of strength. God will give me the strength that I need. And we paraphrased Philippians 4:13. I am continually having strength for everything through my living union with the one who is continually. Whether I feel like it or not, whether I feel it or not, whether I sense it or not, he is continually pouring his power into me. That is the secret. And then we talked about material needs. My God will be continually filling up full every need of yours, consistent with the wealth of his resources in glory in Christ Jesus. God meets material needs. And we talked about that and illustrated that. He is able to give you money when you need it. He's able to give you food when you need it. He is able to give you clothing when you need it. If there's a genuine need, there is a God in heaven who will always meet our needs if they are genuine needs. And then we go from the matter of physical strength or spiritual strength, the strength that we need, the material things we need. We're going to go now to every category of need that we might have. And I want you to turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 8. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse number 8. When you find it, look this way. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse number 8. Human nature is fascinating. Will you agree with me about that? Yes. Human nature is fascinating. We're going to look at a verse that tells us the things that, how God operates, things he will do. And you and I as believers, we get caught up in what God will do, what God won't do, what God is willing to do, what God is not willing to do. We get caught up in the logistics of how all of this comes out. But you know, everything that happens, happens because God is what and who he is. And when we look at these verses, I want you to put into your mind, what kind of a God is this? What kind of a heart does he have? What is his mind? He's a God of integrity. What kind of a God is this? Can I trust this God? See, can I trust him? Not only what does he do, but why does he do it? He does it because he's the kind of God he is. And that's the thing that we want to see. We don't want to lose sight of that. Things we know with certainty about God. And if he's this kind of a God, we can always consistently expect the kinds of things that we are reading about in life. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. This is in the context of their giving having a financial ministry, I should say, to those in need in another place and taking up an offering and some of them not having a lot of money and so on. And so Paul is writing, God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Now, the word grace there, the root of the word grace is favor. Favor. God is able to make all favor. What kind of favor? He doesn't say. Favor covers a lot of ground. Every category of need, God is able to make all grace. What's the next word? Abound. Oh, stop there. Look this way for a moment. How many of you know what the expression tight wad means? I get a good response on that one. How many of you know what tight wad means? How many of you enjoy being around a tight wad? What is a tight wad? Do you know how copper wire was invented? You know how copper wire was invented? Two Scottish guys were fighting over a penny. Now, God is able to make all grace what? What's the word? Abound. Now, what kind of a heart and mind does God have? What is His nature? What is His character toward His people? Generous, abounding. The big problem is that we don't so relate to Him that He is free to do this in our lives. Get that? Get that? God is able to make all grace abound toward you. But you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Question. Is it possible for a believer, for a Christian, to abound in his life if God doesn't abound in favor toward him in his life first? Can I abound toward men and toward others around me if God does not first abound toward me? So there's a relationship with God where His abundance is poured into my life that enables me to abound in ministry to other people. The source is God, and He's a generous God. He is an abounding God. That word abound, of things to be present in abundance, to exceed, to surpass. To exceed a fixed number or measure, to be over and above a certain number or measure. God is able to make all things exceed, surpass, abound, exceed a fixed number or measure. Now that word able, take a look at verse 8, the word able, God is able. This refers to the power of God. It is the word from which we get dynamite, dunamis, dunameo. It refers to God's power. God is able, that means God has power sufficient so that He can abound, overflow toward you so that in your life, as you have needs, as ministry creates needs in your life, you are able through His abounding in you to abound toward those around you. Now, there are two ideas here. Number one, that the ministry creates the need. You're serving God and you run out of strength, you run out of money, you run out of... Ministry makes demands on us that are far beyond our own capacities. Have you learned that? The wisdom. Where do you get the wisdom? Nobody is wise enough to minister. Where do you get the strength? Where do you get the emotional stability to handle the things that happen? Where do you get all of this? And the more you minister and the larger the ministry, the greater the need, the greater the shortfall and lack that you personally have in order to do what God has given you to do. And when people commit themselves to do what they cannot do, that is when God's overflow comes into their life. Some people never experience that in their life because they never have a ministry-created need in their life. Their whole, every need in life revolves around their selfish desires and interests. You get that? Who is sufficient for this? I came to San Francisco 35 years ago. I want to tell you, this whole 35 years has been a miracle. Oh, Pastor Innes is a great guy. No, he's not a great guy. He's a guy that didn't have the ability. He didn't have the capacity. He didn't have the wisdom. He did not have the strength. He didn't have any of this. He is a guy that got on his face before God and opened his mouth wide, because if he didn't do that, he'd have nothing and nothing would be here. That's how it works. You commit yourself to a ministry which is beyond your own capacity, which is beyond your own ability. You commit yourself to a life that goes beyond any human resources. And in order that you might abound in that, God has to abound toward you. And then you learn how abundant God is. Wow. That's where you learn it. Huh? You can say amen to that. A lot of you have experienced this. Sure you have. Sure you have. Some of you didn't know it, but that's what was going on. That's what was going on. There is no ministry unless there is a pouring out of the all-sufficiency of God, because the flesh doesn't do these kinds of things. It has not the capacity. The power of God. God is powerful to make all favor abound. Favor and provision overflow, literally. Make all grace abound toward you, literally. Overflow, surpass your needs, overflow into you. I like the Greek prepositions better than I like the English prepositions. He's here, the English says abound towards you, but literally the Greek says to make all favor and provision overflow into you. See? That's a little more graphic. So that there's a purpose, there's a reason for this. In order that, it is purpose to provide everything needed. And it's purpose to provide not only everything needed, but it is purpose to provide everything that is needed independent of all resources and circumstances. What kind of a God saved us? Would God have saved us from our sin if He was not a generous God? If God wanted to withhold from us, He never would have saved us in the first place. Yes or no? See? And the first proof of God's generosity comes when His interest in saving us that we might have all sufficiency in all things at all time. A.T. Robertson says this word, or this expression, all sufficiency. Paul takes this word of Greek philosophy and applies it to the Christian view of life as independent of circumstances. So there is a reason why God is generous. He is generous in order that we might overflow literally into every good work. Again, let me point out that any genuine ministry that any believer has is the result or the outcome. It's an overflow from his walk with God. Yeah? See? Any genuine ministry we have is an overflow of our walk with God. We know God. We walk with God. We get filled with the Spirit of God. And we enjoy the presence of the Lord. And we fill our hearts and minds with His Word. And instead of shrinking us, it enlarges us, and we begin to be like wineskins, new wine in old bottles, ready to burst with the goodness of God. And there's an overflow into the lives of other people around us. Ministry is not something we invent. It's not something we decide we're going to do. It's not something that we come to the altar and we make a decision that's going to happen in our lives. Ministry has to do with a relationship between us and God. And we have a generous, abounding, overflowing God who has purpose. And that purpose cannot be fulfilled apart from His pouring out into our lives. God always meets our genuine needs. Always. Always. There are two overflowings here. This God's superabundant provision overflowing into you. You saw that? That's in the first part of the verse. God's superabundant provision overflowing into you. And then secondly, your overflowing, your personal overflowing into every good work. Now, this cannot happen if God does not meet your needs. It cannot happen if God does not meet your needs. In verse 9, it's described as distributing generously to the saints. That's that overflow described in verse 9, 2 Corinthians 8, 9. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. So, we understand then as we read this that what has been distributed in verse 9 did not come from existing resources. It comes from a divine overflowing of provision based on the good work of God desire, or the good work which God desired should be done. So the believer made himself available to do a good work. He had no resources, and the ministry created needs. And so God overflowed into him so that he might overflow into that which God desired to be done. That's how it works. Let me paraphrase that verse for you then. God continually has power to cause all favor and provision to overflow into you, to surpass your needs, because He desires that in every circumstance of life without exception and at all times, you might have everything you need, independent of the circumstances, and that you might overflow into every good work. You still awake? Let's go somewhere else with this, okay? You need to notice again the interest that God Himself has in the outcome of this. God wants the ministry to take place. It's something He wants done. When I am involved in what God wants done. No, wait a minute. Back up. Caffeine time, okay? When I involve myself and commit myself beyond my own resources, beyond my own abilities, to what God wants done. Got that? To what God wants done. Then, this is the dynamic. My needs, at that point, become God's needs. You got that? My needs then become God's needs. Does God take care of His own needs? Does He have resources for it? God has power to make all favor overflow into you. This is how it's supposed to work. So my genuine needs are God's genuine needs. Now, let's add to this. Can I put some frosting on this cake? I don't like cake without frosting. I'm sorry. Can I put some frosting on this cake? God's own honor and integrity are wrapped up in both the process and the outcome. I'm in business with God. God and I are in partnership. And may I say, God does not look in favor upon His business failing. What do you think? God does not look in favor with favor upon His business failing. I'm in a partnership, a life partnership with God. I enter into His labors. And I do that every day. I say, Lord, today I'm placing my life into Your business. I'm entering into Your labors today. My life will be consumed with what You want done today with my life. And it doesn't matter whether I agree or not. Okay. Now, look at verse number 10. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 10. Now He that ministereth seed to the sower. Now who in the world is He that ministers seed to the sower in this context? It's God. Now God who ministers seed to the sower both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase your fruit of righteousness. God who supplies, literally one who provides out of His own expense. Out of His own expense. Now, I have a policy. I just have a general thing in my life that if I ask someone to do something for me and they have no obligation toward me to do it, I always feel that they're going to do it at my expense and not theirs, because it's what I want done, it's what I need done. Had an electrician in here this week, and he did what he did, not out of his own pocket, he did it out of our pockets. We benefit, we pay. We pay our own way. We are not debtors to those around us, we are not beggars. And God ministers, He provides out of His own, at His own expense. God is not going to be obligated to us. He does not order anything in our life that He does not provide in one way or another. He doesn't do that. He that ministereth seed to the sower, that is, provides out of his own resources, who furnishes supplies at his own expense, seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown. That word supply, minister, means to furnish, A.T. Robertson said, a chorus at one's own expense. So the character of God is described. What kind of a God are we serving? Okay? What is God like? I jokingly, and I do this all the time, I've just learned to enjoy life. You know, you live life once, folks. You do. You don't agree with that. How many times are you going to live your life? One time. I figure it, you know, it goes by in a hurry. So why not enjoy it? And so I come up to the cash register. I don't care whether it's at a food place or where it is. And I was at Target the other day and got a little something. And I looked at the cashier and said, are you going to ask me for money? Don't you think that's rather personal to ask a person for his money? And of course, they usually catch on and laugh. But then I tell them, you know, I don't know how you guys get away with this. You ask for money all the time, and people keep coming back here. When I ask for money at church, they don't come back again. I don't know how you guys get away with this. The character of God, He is one who supplies at His own expense seed to those who sow. He provides at His own expense resources for the work. He sustains the work. Now see, we need to relate to Him in prayer. We need to ask. Open your mouth wide that I might fill it. Ask and you shall receive. Up to this time you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. There needs to be a walk with God, a relationship with God where this is taking place, where God can do this. He is one who supplies at his own expense seed to those who sow. He supplies resources for the work. Secondly, he is one who supplies at his own expense bread for food. That is, sustenance and provisions. Personal sustenance for the worker. He sustains the work and he sustains the worker at his own expense. What can we expect based on the character of God? Number one, a supply and multiplication of seed for sowing. And secondly, an increase in the harvest, which results from our choosing and doing what is right. My note at the closing here, there are things that God wants done in this world. He never fails to supply all the needs of that which He wants done. He stands by, He supports, and He makes possible His own work. If He did not do this, we would be out of business and would have been out of business a long time ago. What kind of a God is He? God will always meet my genuine needs. Always, always. Now the one who at his own expense furnishes seed to the sower and bread for nourishment will furnish at his own expense, yea, will multiply to you your seed for sowing and cause the harvest of your ripeness to increase. My greatest need, turn to Luke 11:2. I'm not going to quit until I get this one done. Luke 11:2. I want you to take this home with you today. Luke 11:2. Tell them I'll be glad to talk to them, please. Luke 11:2. Jesus said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. As in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. All right, look this way. Let's tie a knot in this thing now if we can, okay? My greatest need, and you'll notice that the third thing in here is give us day by day our daily bread. You remember Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and His rightness, and all these things will be added unto you. The first thing for which we are to ask is that God's name be hallowed. My greatest need. Now, Jesus didn't put things out of order in this prayer. My greatest need is for God's name to be hallowed. Secondly, for His kingdom to, His will to be done is the kingdom of God in my life and in my world. And then thirdly, for my physical and spiritual and other needs to be met. In that order, is the these are my needs. These are not God's needs. These are my needs. This is the order in which God can do things unusual in my life. Miraculous things. Supernatural things. My greatest need is for God's name to be hallowed, for His pleasures, His plans, His purposes, and His ways to be fulfilled in my life. These things will be impossible if He does not take care of the needs of my life. The honor of God is bound up in the welfare of His people. Now, let's wrap it up by this. What does it mean, hallowed be Thy name? What does it mean, hallowed be Thy name? Hallow your name. Well, we might give the technical definition, set it apart, which means set it apart from everything else. Make it distinctive. Make it different. Make a great difference between His name and everything else. We could say that. But the idea of hallowing is displaying, making something known openly and publicly. To hallow His name is to exalt and display the greatness of God openly and publicly. The hallowing of God's name is a spectacular public display of the greatness and glory of God. That's the hallowing of the name of God. A spectacular public display of the greatness and the glory of God. And the glory of God is the outshining of the divine perfections of God. And the hallowing of God's name is the open public display of the greatness and the divine perfections of God. Now, if that's taking place in my life, hear me. If that happens in my life, if that is the goal of my life, what else matters? Everything else will follow. Yes or no? It will have to. It will have to. Therefore, now hear me before you go. Our extreme needs. We have extreme needs. Our extreme needs and difficulties or hardships or trials. Our extreme needs become the platform from which God is able to make a spectacular public display of His divine glory in our personal lives to the view of those who don't have a God like this. He's a great God. David said, I'm old, been young. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. Our greatest need is the spectacular public display of the greatness and the divine perfections of God, His glory in our personal lives. And it is all of the things we don't want to happen to us, we don't want to go through, those are the things that in a world, pagan world, those are the things that make it possible for people to see that this God is different than all the other gods. He's known in and through the lives of His people. Let's stand together.